Okay, well, you know, I've got some good news for you today. As I've said in past weeks, God has got a miracle in store for your life this year. He's got a miracle in His hands for your taking. And we've been doing a series called Going to the Top. Going to the top of your mountain. Friend, is there some type of mountain facing you today? It may be an emotional mountain. It may be a mountain of physical sickness. Maybe a relational mountain. Financial mountain of struggle, or it may be an addiction. And I'm here to tell you today, don't let that mountain stand over you and intimidate you today. Guess what? With God's help, you can climb that mountain and stand over it in Jesus' name. Amen? And last week we talked about a most important spiritual key to climbing the mountain standing in your way. How can we climb the mountain that stands in our way? We talked about an important spiritual key. What key was that?
Development of the soul.
Okay, development of the soul. Somebody else?
Focus.
Say it again.
Focus.
All right, that was one key several weeks ago. Anybody else?
Obedience.
All right, obedience. Those are all good answers. We hit those subjects. The key we talked about last week was the name of Jesus. How many here know that the name of Jesus has power? You see, Jesus comes from the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. So when you say the name Jesus, you're saying salvation. You see, Jesus came to save the human soul from the grip of sin and from hell's bondage. It's awesome, isn't it? But Jesus came to save the entirety of the human existence. He came to bring wholeness to every single part of your being. He came to bring you emotional wholeness, financial wholeness, wholeness in your relationships. He came to bring wholeness in your spirit. Isaiah 53:5 says this, that by His wounds we are healed. What does that word healed mean? It means thoroughly made whole in every part of your being. When you say Jesus, you're saying salvation, you're talking wholeness. I want to continue the series of going to the top today in conjunction with the holiday that we just celebrated yesterday. Yesterday, we celebrated Easter. How many here know the reason for the Easter season? What's the spiritual significance of Easter? What is it? New life. What is it? No, that's Christmas. Yes.
Resurrection.
Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ from the dead over 2,000 years ago. You know, death thought it had power over Jesus, but Jesus proved from His resurrection that He was stronger than death. He defeated death. Death had no power over Him. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Verses 17 through 19. Jesus was predicting His crucifixion and resurrection. Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, He took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn Him to death and will turn Him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, He will be raised to life." Why was He raised back to life?
Because He conquered death.
Because He was stronger than death. How many here remember the account of Lazarus who had died? John chapter 11. Well, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, lived in Bethany. And Lazarus died. And in John chapter 11, go to verse 17, Jesus arrives in Bethany. He finds that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And Martha meets Jesus in verse 21, and she says, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Verse 23, what does He say to Martha? Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know He will rise in the resurrection at the last day." Verse 25 is the key. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? In other words, Jesus was saying, those who have accepted me as Savior and Lord, even though they die physically on this earth, they will live forever eternally in heaven with God. So then Mary meets Jesus. If you jump down to verse 32, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 35, Jesus weeps. So Jesus goes to the tomb. He was dead for 4 days. He was smelling. And in verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Verse 40, Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came back to life. Why did the dead man come back to life? Because the resurrection and the life was standing there and commanded life to come back to that corpse. See, he told Mary in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus was face to face with Martha, telling her, I am the resurrection and the life. He was the resurrection and the life incarnate in human flesh, and he still is the resurrection and the life. Death cannot stand in his presence. Do you know if Jesus lives on the inside of you as your Savior, resurrection and life is on the inside of you as well? That's good news, isn't it? Amen. He is the resurrection. Now, let's talk about the power of the resurrection for the next few minutes. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the Ephesian Christians. We'll go to verse 16. He says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. In other words, he's saying that he would want them to know God better and better. Then he says this, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Verse 19 is the key. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. He's telling them that he wants them to know that this incomparably great power is available to them. This word power in the original Greek is what word? Verse 19 of Ephesians 1. The word for power is dunamis. Dunamis. What does dunamis mean? Power. That you may know this dunamis. It means force, specifically miraculous power and strength. Guess what English word we get from dunamis? Dynamite. We get the word dynamite from dunamis. Dynamite has got explosive, amazing power. What is dynamite used for? Anybody? Okay, that's good. Anybody else?
Fireworks.
Anybody else? Okay. Caves. That's tunnels. Good. It's used for mining. It's used for stone quarries. You take large blocks of stone on the side of a mountain and you use dynamite to break it into smaller pieces. Dynamite is powerful, right? And it comes from this word, dunamis, explosive, amazing power. What is Paul trying to say here in Ephesians 1, verses 19 through 20? What is he saying? He's saying the same power that raised Jesus from the dead over 2,000 years ago is available to you and to me. As believers in Christ, it says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. For us who believe what?
In Christ.
For us who believe in Christ, who have Christ as Savior and Lord, this dunamis power, friend, is available to you. This miraculous working power is at your fingertips. You can have it operating in your life. This dunamis power is there so that you can conquer the mountain facing you today. Dynamite power. So how do you make this dunamis power real in your life? Anybody know? How do you make this dunamis power real in your life? Dunamis power. It's miraculous working power. How is it made real in your life so that you can conquer that mountain, that addiction, that emotional problem facing you? How do you access it? How's that?
Seeking God.
Okay, seeking God. Anybody else? That's good.
Right. Faith and believing and works.
Okay, anybody else? Prayer, good. Anybody else?
Cherishing the Lord God Jesus Christ.
Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Interesting passage. Mark 11, 12. The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruits. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Look at verse 14. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Let's jump to verse 20 of Mark 11. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you have cursed is withered." What caused this fig tree to be withered? The what now?
Dunamis.
That's good. How many would say that dunamis power was in effect when Jesus caused the fig tree to wither? How many would say that this dunamis power, this miraculous working power, was in effect when Jesus talked to the fig tree and caused it to wither? Dunamis power was in effect, right? What caused that dunamis power to go into effect? Okay, anybody else? The answer is in the next verse. Faith. And so Jesus says in verse 22, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." What was the switch that caused dunamis power to flow? That caused the fig tree to wither? Faith is the switch that turns it on. You know, when I walked into this room today, it was fairly dark. So in order for the lights to go on, what did I do? I went to the back of the room and I turned the switches upwards. It caused the electrical power to flow and the lights to go on. Friend, this dunamis miracle-working power is available at your fingertips. How do you turn it on? By switching by putting on the switch of faith. The switch of faith. Have faith in God. What mountain is facing you today? You can conquer it with dunamis power, but you've got to have faith in God. You've got to have doubtless faith in God. A faith that does not doubt God's miracle working power for even a moment. How many here believe that God can do a miracle in your life? Don't doubt it for even a second. You've got to have that childlike faith. That little girl that loves her daddy loves her. She knows that her daddy will provide for all of her needs. She doesn't doubt him. It's a doubtless faith. That's the kind of faith that God is looking for in us. That childlike faith. Dunamis power to conquer the mountain facing you by turning on the switch of faith. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Dunamis power in effect. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked them. And he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? Verse 30, and their sight was restored. So these blind men had a mountain facing them. What mountain was that? It's a mountain of what?
Sight.
It was a mountain of blindness. How did they conquer their mountain? How did they tap in into this dunamis power to conquer their mountain of blindness? By turning on the switch of faith. Jesus said it, according to your faith, will it be done to you? We know that God, that Jesus is no respecter of persons. If he did it for these two blind men, guess what? He can do it for you. Amen? Let's turn to another instance here. I believe it's in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. There was a woman who was subject to bleeding for 12 years, verse 26. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 30. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? See, but this was a different kind of touch. This was a touch of what? A touch of faith. Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your what has healed you? Your faith has healed you. Power went out of Jesus. What caused that power to go forth from Jesus into the woman who bled? It was faith. She turned on the switch of faith. Doesn't matter what mountain is facing you, friend. Depression, despondency, an addiction, financial problems, job problems, relationship problems. Guess what? That same dunamis miracle working power is available to us today to conquer our mountains. And we access that power. We tap into that power with a switch of faith. That's what turns it on. Doubtless faith in God. What is faith? What is faith?
Substance of things hoped for.
Evidence of things not seen. A faith is a knowing that you know that you know that you know without the shadow of a doubt in your knower that God will do what his word says he is able to do. Knowing that you know on the inside, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that what God has promised to you personally, he is able to do. That's faith. Let's keep our faith strong. How many know that the economy is pretty tough here in America right now? Well, let's look at it optimistically. Let's look at the positive side of things. And, you know, I've got a business. We work on people's homes here in Tulsa. And I was just looking at the numbers from last year to this year, kind of roundabout numbers. And, friends, let me tell you, the revenues, it seems, have gone up this year as opposed to last year. In the midst of a difficult economy, it seems like my business is doing better this year than it did last. It's faith in God, man. It's faith in God. I believe that God's word is going to do what it says it's going to do. Just know that I know that I know on the inside that God is able to do it for me. And he's done it. I mean, in the midst of a tough economy, we've got so much business coming our way. If God is doing it for me, friend, he can do it for you. He can deliver you from the bondage you're dealing with today. Doesn't matter what it is. Drugs, alcohol, he can rescue you. Just believe in him to do it. And don't quit believing. God is looking for a persistent faith. A non-quitting faith. Yeah, I mean, you may be believing God a week for your miracle. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Abraham waited how long for his miracle son, Isaac? How long did Abraham wait in the Old Testament? He waited 25 years. He believed God. He did not quit in believing God. If Abraham was able to do it, friends, you and I can do the same. God is looking for a persistent, persevering faith that does not give up, does not quit. Exactly. Back in 2000, the latter part of 2000, I put a team together to go to Southeast India to do evangelistic work, to do a pastor's seminar. And we were needing quite a bit of money to do it. I just knew that I knew on the inside that God would provide the means. So I made some calls, talked to some partners, and believe it or not, shortly before we went to India, this lady mailed us a check for $10,000 to cover all the evangelistic expenses, all the seminar expenses, and some more. I just knew that I knew that I knew that God would do it. It was an awesome testimony to the entire team. God can do the same for you. Keep the switch of faith turned what? Turned on in your life, in your mind, in your heart. It's about to do a miracle in your life. The dunamis, mighty, miracle-working power of God is going to flow through your life. Just don't doubt Him. Amen? Praise God.